Our scripture lesson today takes place in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. And while you're looking that up in Romans, I might add that I already have 5 takers to be my once a month scripture readers. And the first one out of the gate that will be reading scripture at the end of this month is young Toddy. So I have to pick something extra long and difficult with a lot of really good words in it. But the thing that got me is all of the kids came up. Hey, I want to read. I want to read. And a couple of big kids too. So remember, you want to be a scripture reader? Come see me. I can hook you up. Romans chapter 5 in the 12th verse. Paul writing his letter to the Roman Empire. He says these words, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, and even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam did, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many had died by the trespass of the other man, of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment that followed one sin brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of the one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. May God add his blessings to this powerful set of meat as we seek him in prayer. Join with me, please. Father, lift us up. Prepare us to hear this message. Let it be what you would have it be. It is not mine. It is given to me from you to be spoken, Father. And so let us be strengthened by it. Let us go from here knowing it was good to be here and seeing just a little bit more of your great plan and what you would have for us. Use it to strengthen us against all things that would come at us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. 2 definitions. Being out of the ordinary is the definition of singular. Something that occurs in a certain place during a particular interval of time is an event. So you have a singular event, the name of the sermon. Being out of the ordinary, it's something that occurred in a single certain place during a particular interval of time. Singular event. And there are singular events that have shaped everything that we know and do and are. And so I have picked out 4 of my favorite singular events that have changed the world. Not just Paul Leatherman, not just Hagerstown, Maryland, the world. And as I like to be, 1 or 2 of them you will probably not know until I get there, starting with the first one, who has the coolest name ever recorded in the history of mankind, next to the name Paul and Leatherman III. Because we all know how cool my name is. This man is responsible. Has anybody in this room ever driven over a bridge? Say amen. Amen. Have you ever driven over a big hybrid? Say amen. Amen. Have you ever driven across, I don't know, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge? Say amen. Amen. Or a suspension bridge? Say amen. Yeah. You ever just drove across that bridge and you don't think about how it got there? Oh, you know a little bit about it. But somebody had to sit down and figure that out. Have you ever seen a steam train? Say amen.
Amen.
You ever seen the diesel trains that run?
Amen.
Do you know that the gauge on those train tracks is 4'8"? That is standard gauge for locomotives today, 4'8". And somebody will say, why? Well, because when they were building the railroads, they built the railroads to accommodate the electric tram. Why? Well, because the electric tram was built to accommodate the compressed tram in the tunnels of England. Why? Well, because when they were building the trams in the tunnels of England, they were pulled by horses to start with. Well, why? Why 4'8"? Well, because that's what the carriage builders built. Why? Well, because when you build a carriage, you have to build it 4'8" wide from wheel to wheel, because that's how the ruts in the road are laid out. Why? Well, because we all know that the Roman Empire built all the roads that are still in use all over Europe today, and their chariots were built, say it with me, 4'8". Why? Well, I don't know. When you get up there, ask. So you have trains running on modern steel today that trace their roots all the way back to the Romans. And this man was responsible for a great expansion of the railways in England. He also brought forth projects like the expansion of the Western Railway into New York City by way of a steamship, because he believed it could be done. He believed we could cross the Atlantic so much faster if we just figured it out. He astonished Britain. The man built a great steamship that still today is in operation, known as the Great Western. When it was built, longest ship in the world, 236 feet long. He became convinced that the proper way to move a ship was not by air, not by sails, not by paddle wheels, but by propellers, driven under the theory of Archimedes. Anybody know who Archie was? Archimedes, you ever heard that word? Do you know that every day when you turn on the spigot in your house, you fall into the Archimedes principle? What is that, Paul? Because you're making my head hurt. Do you know that you cannot lift water more than 25 feet in vacuum or by mechanical means as to pull it up? You cannot pull water more than 25 feet up. How deep's your well? Mine's 280 feet. So if my well is 280 feet deep and you can only get it up 25 feet, that means I ain't taking a bath in 20 years. Don't get next to me. But Archimedes figured out by the principle of a screw that he could lift water forever. And by the same principle, not just lifting water, that revolutionary motion could be transferred into a torque application. And this man, who's got the coolest name I've ever heard, came to that realization. What are boats built with today? Propellers. He died at 53 years old. He was this tall. His name is Isambard Kingdom Brunel. That is about the coolest name you could ever hear in the world, ain't it? His son, Mark Brunel, continued in his footsteps in being a designing engineer. Isambard Kingdom Brunel is one of my heroes. Died at 53 years old, had an attitude. He said, "Nothing you can lay down on paper should ever become the rule. We should always look at different ways to do things and reach beyond." And so that's why he built the suspension bridges that we know today. His ideas are responsible for that. He changed the world and the way they viewed commerce and industry. Next up, mold juice. Mold juice. Roll that around in your head for a minute. It was called mold juice. It was considered a cure-all, mold juice. And it was an accident. Anybody in this room ever been sick? No, nobody in this room has ever been sick, right? You ain't never had the sniffles or had the dreaded flu or pneumonia or anything. Do you know that those diseases at one time of day were considered the way that you would die? A common cold. And yet mold juice. See, this man was on his way to a family vacation, and he had been studying infectious diseases, and he was trying to figure out a few things about them, and he had taken his little petri dishes, and he had stacked them up for the weekend, and he went away. He came back in this hot August. And on September 3rd, 1928, he happened to notice that the bacteria that he was growing was dying. And that the agent that he had used to spawn it had begun to grow mold. And he started to study it. And so on September 3rd, 1928, he began to say, "That's funny." And after a few more studies, he decided he would call this stuff mold juice, but then it was released on March 7th, 1929 by a man known as Alexander Fleming. You may have heard of penicillin. Mold juice. That is something that changed the world. You get sick, what's the first thing they give you? It's a shot of penicillin, right? I come home from the shop, my wife usually has a giant syringe of it ready for whatever cuts I have. He changed the way the world viewed bacteria. He stopped scarlet fever, pneumonia, meningitis, diphtheria, typhoid, paratyphoid, gram negative. All these gone because of mold. Mold juice. He published his discovery in 1929. Do you know it took 10 years before people believed him? But it wasn't until we stormed the beaches of Normandy in 1944 that everywhere on that beach, the Allies were armed with bottles and vials and bottles of penicillin. Next up, changed the world. Just in a singular event. It was cold, it was nasty. The engines made 220 horsepower, single engine, made 220 horsepower. And when he lifted off, he never expected to see his life end the way that it did. It had 450 gallons. There was mud-soaked runway, and it finally reared off into the air. The engines were appropriately named JC5Ss. Wright Whirlwinds. Whirlwinds, get it? Airplane engines. He had to use the stars and dead reckoning. And if you don't know what dead reckoning is, that means you just kind of go. You really don't know where you are. You might catch a point somewheres and bing it off a star and use dead reckoning. And the plane iced up and headed for the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. He fell asleep twice. And suddenly the fog broke. And at 10:22 p.m., and I get choked up on this one, on Saturday, May 21st, Charles Lindbergh touched down in Paris, the first man to ever fly across the Atlantic Ocean alone. Alone! A singular event. They said that when he touched down, there were 20,000 Parisians there to greet him. They jerked him from the airplane. He smelled like everything you can imagine. And they carried him around on their shoulders for half an hour and started tearing pieces off the airplane until other pilots and everybody there and the gendarmes and the police and everybody gathered around and husked him off into an airport hangar for safety. And if you've ever been to the Smithsonian Institution, you can lay your hand on the side of that airplane and you can feel it. A singular event. I was 13 years old the first time I saw that airplane and had read his story. 13-year-old boy, hand on the side of that airplane, crying. Because that's a powerful singular event. It changed the world. What do you do now? Hey, I want to go to the Bahamas because I look good in a Speedo. What are you all laughing for? You get on an airplane, don't you? You fly across the ocean. Hey, I want to go over to Paris. I want to go see the Eiffel Tower. Hey, I want to go. Now, me, I want to go home to Germany, to the motherland, to where my ancestors came from. Do you understand why I want to go to the motherland? It's one word. Who said that? What did you say?
Sausage.
You're darn right, sausage. I want to go eat Wiener Schnitzel. I don't want to eat it here. I want to go sit down in a German sausage hut and say, feed me. And I'm going to learn how to say that in German. Feed me. I'm starved. And we just do it. September 25th, 1926, a day that changed everyone's life for the most part in this room. It was become known as the 40-hour revolution. Have you ever heard of it? September 5th, 1926. A man decided that we worked way too hard and we didn't take enough breaks at work. And so a week prior to that, he said, from here on out, I'm going to pay my workers $5 a day. That was triple the amount being paid at that time. $5 a day. And when they said, have you lost your mind? He said, if my worker has more money, my worker will spend more money. And a week later, he said, you know what? I'm tired of this. There has to be time for relaxation. And he started the 40-hour revolution. We went from 15 hours a day to 8 hours a day to 5 days a week. He said, and here was his reason. He said, on Saturday, people can be with their families. And if they have more money and they're with their families, what can they go out and do? They can go out and shop. And they can come back and buy my product and I'll get their money back. And Henry Ford initiated the 40-hour work week 5 days a week. And from that point forward, the Model T became the number one selling car at that point in time. Singular events that changed this world forever. Now, I know that not everybody anymore always works a 40-hour work week. Some of us have to work 10 and 12 hours. But for the most part, we work 5 days a week. And we know we do. And these are events that changed us and our lives forever. And a few of them, you may not know, have become singular events. And this is great. In my life, I think there's a special place in heaven for the man whose singular event in world history was the man who invented the electrified ice cream scoop. That's the man I think's got his own spot in heaven. And I can't wait to see him because I don't have to break my wrist anymore when I want to eat ice cream. And I see people going, yeah, I like that idea. You get to digging into that vanilla ice cream. They changed our lives. Some of them before we ever got here. And life is still changing. How many people in this room have a cell phone? Yeah, everybody does. Do you realize that 5 years ago, you boys ain't getting cell phones yet? I ain't having that foolishness yet. Do you realize that 5 years ago, your cell phone made a phone call? You flipped it open. The first time you flipped the phone open, everybody flipped out. Then they, oh, look, man, your phone flips open. It doesn't look like you're holding half a brick up beside your head. 10 years ago, maybe. And you could dial. And then came this thing called texting. And you had to push the little buttons. And now you want to know something, you reach in your pocket and you pull out your smartphone. Let me see here. You push a button on your smartphone and you say, hey, you got one down there. Hey, I want to know more about Henry Ford. And the little man comes up and bloop, 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 and there you go. Everything you want to know right there on your handheld computer. 25 years ago, you would have been told that you would be able to have a phone in your hand that would give you the Encyclopedia Britannica. You'd called me nuts. And yet it changed the world. And we don't think about it anymore. You got to go somewhere. Hey, let me text so-and-so and tell them we're on the way. You can't hide no more. Remember the good old days when you could hide? Just don't answer the phone. Let the recording machine pick up. I got in trouble for my recording message when I was a single man because if you called my house, my answering machine would go, hello? And everybody would start talking. And then in a couple of seconds, I'd go, I'm not home right now, but you can leave a message. And my father called me one day and he said, take that thing off your answering machine right now. I talked to that thing for half an hour before I realized what was going on. Singular events. Now my question to you is, what is your singular event? See, mine is different than yours. And yours is different than yours, and so forth and so on. Listen to this scripture for a moment while you contemplate your singular event. Meanwhile, Acts chapter 9, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Now let me stop you right there for a moment before we go just a couple more steps. In all of my life, I have never read more powerful scripture. Because Jesus Christ turned to Saul and said, "Why do you persecute me?" That, brothers and sisters, is a singular event. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." And the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. That's a singular event that changed the world for Saul. Not for us, for Saul. We reaped benefit from it. But here he is. We all know, if you go back a couple chapters there in Acts, you can read what? Some of the most heinous words that you will ever read out of that book. And believe you me, if you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, right? The Lord says, go down there and kill all of them and take their calves. But in that book, Saul held the coats of those who killed Stephen. Gave word to murder. "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Singular event. And it changed. And brothers and sisters, we have to look at it from that angle. We have to look at all the events in this world. What we are simply talking about is change today. Isaac Newton's first law of motion is what? Who's my scholars out there that can quote Isaac Newton by heart? Do you know it? Wait. Try it.
"And all things that rest will remain at rest unless until force is acted upon."
What did you say? You said it about 1,000 miles an hour. Man, you all better sit next to that little blonde chick. Because for all the goofy stuff she does, the first... Isaac Newton's first rule of motion... Boys, did you know that?
Third.
You know the third law. We'll get to that in 3 Sundays. Isaac Newton's first law is everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. Give her a hand. We're talking about change. We're talking about a singular event that changes. We're talking about the hardest thing ever to be done. Luke chapter 5. Starting in the 17th verse. Get over there with me. You need to read this story along with me. Luke chapter 5 in the 17th verse. This is an old story, but it is a singular event that promotes a change that we still talk about 2,000 years later. One day, he was teaching. Luke, the writer, is putting these words on paper. Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem and were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Right in front of him. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." He didn't say, "Get up and walk." He didn't say, "You are healed." He said, "Your sins are forgiven." That's the healing power. There are plenty of people in this world that will never walk again on this earth, and yet they sinned. And when they come to know Jesus, they know that they have been healed from their sins. May they never walk again until they are clothed with righteousness in heaven. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God Almighty?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and walk." "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. Their hearts were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." That was a singular event that brought about change. We are 2,000 years removed from that happening. It's not a story. It's not a parable. It's in the Bible. Jesus tells it. We are seeing it through the eyes of Luke. It happened. End of story. Don't debate me. You will lose. It is the truth. Say amen right there. I get tired of hearing that. "Well, these are just stories." No, they are not. They are singular events. The Bible is full of them. And we are a product of that event. Did you know that? We are a product of that guy laying on his mat. Go back to the scripture for a moment that we were in there in Romans. Now look, Romans is one of the toughest books in the New Testament to read. You have to read and reread, read and reread, read and reread. And someday, after you've read it about 7,000 times, you will start to understand it. But it is one of the most powerful books in the New Testament for being very clear on Paul's mind. And in this scripture, although he says a lot in his writings, he is extremely clear on one thing. Follow with me, please. Paul is making it very, very clear. He starts it off in verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man." Do you know what that was? Adam. Adam was what? Say it with me. A singular event. See? Maddox knows it. He said singular event. Did you hear him? And it brought about, say the word, change. Paul's starting it off that way. "And death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men, because all sin. For before the law was given, sin was in the world." Stop right there. Paul is making it very clear. Sin has been here. Sin came through one man. We are all guilty of sin because of a singular event. He ate from the tree of life. God knew it was going to happen. I know it. But then he goes on and he gets even more dialed down. He gets even more clear. Go down into verse 16. "Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification." Huh? Let me explain that to you. Just because there is sin in the world, there is also grace and righteousness. And the grace and righteousness of Jesus Christ is greater than all the sin of mankind. Amen. And Paul, getting wound a little bit tighter, takes it down further. Go down to verse 18. "Consequently," now this is the one that you should put on your refrigerator this week. "Consequently, just as a result of one trespass. Just as a result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification. Those are, come on, say it, singular events that changed the world. One man brought sin, one man took it away forever. And Paul is going on a little bit further to say, because of him, you can't sin enough that he won't love you at all. Period. End of story. It's written in the Bible. Say it so. Amen. For just as though the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Righteous. It's a singular event. What is your singular event? You know, the funny part about singular events is they keep happening. I know what mine is. And I've told you 1,000 times what my singular event was. And they keep happening. Father, I need help. Jesus, I'm lost. I am struggling. I can't get along with my spouse. I'm having problems at work. I don't feel well. Something in my mind is not right. Oh, Lord above, hear me, help me, cleanse me, heal me. And Jesus says, you are forgiven. There's a traditional saying that says, some people will change when they see the light. Others change only when they feel the heat. Whatever that singular event was that changed you, embrace it. Live it. Talk about it. I'm not ashamed anymore. For a little while I was. And I don't hold people in judgment because of the things they do, because that's where I was. And guess what? I am about that close to being there again. All of y'all are. One moment, one change, one event without Jesus Christ in your life and you're lost. You have him in your life, right? Say amen.
Amen.
You do believe in him, right? Say amen.
Amen.
There's your singular event. If you don't believe in him, see me after the service back there. And if you want to learn about him, I'll be happy to talk to you. You just have to watch me eat my egg salad sandwich. Four events changed the world. Four singular events changed the world as we know it. And we can trace it back to them. One singular event changed forever. Changed forever. You know what our forever is? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's our forever. That singular event changed our forever. As he hung on that cross, this is the man that hung on that cross. This is where we have to put it in our head. You want to dial it down? You want to put a name? You want to put a phrase to the singular event? I've got the phrase for you. You ready? As he hung there bleeding and dying, he said, and I quote, Father, forgive them for what? That is a singular event that brought about a change that is still happening today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the things that you have given us and for the things that you have taken away. We thank you that we are able to see it. Some of us saw the light, some of us felt the heat. But we found our way to it, Father. I pray for those still struggling in everything. That they would come to know the peace that lies within your Son. Does that mean that they're going to wake up tomorrow morning after a singular event and know full and grace and righteousness and peace and the little bluebird's going to be singing on their shoulder? No. It means that you have changed our forever. We'll put in the time, Father. We'll look to You daily. And we're thankful for what You've done for us. We thank You, Jesus, for that death. And we ask that You hear us as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.